We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Yeah, they do. I'm joined by Wade Smith, former Houston Texan offensive lineman. And we are joined once again, as we are, it varies, Thursday, Friday. It doesn't matter when you're Lisa Ann. You just make your own dang time slot, baby. The real Lisa Ann is where you can follow her on Twitter. Please go out there right now, pull out your phone, and at the real Lisa Ann, give her a follow. Lisa, what's going on, girl?
Well, we got 2 days straight of football coming up this weekend. Couldn't be more exciting. Saturday and Sunday, like, what an excuse to do nothing.
Yeah, like I need a reason to do nothing. I tend to find a way when I'm not on the air to do that pretty easily. Hey, what? Talk to me about, we're at the time in the season, just generally speaking, where some of your top teams are going to lock up playoff spots, they're going to lock up buys, they're going to, for one reason or another, possibly rest some players this week and maybe even next week. How do you approach that with your teams?
Well, since I only play in leagues that are finishing up this week, I pretty much just pray that my players don't get rested and that there's enough injuries on their team that they can't afford to rest them. But next week, you know, week 17, that's a real issue. And it makes it harder for sports betting, and it makes it harder for everything we want to do.
With the Buccaneers missing both Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, which Tampa Bay receiving targets do you like the most this week? You think Perriman, O.J. Howard, or is there a receiver, dark horse receiver that we don't know that much about? Who you think is going to be the best targets for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I really like Perriman again. I don't want anyone to think they're going to get the upside they got last week, but I think Perriman being the only show in town right now, also they could throw out some two tight end sets, be working O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate. As much as we'd like to believe it's going to be O.J. Howard, most likely it's going to be Cameron Brate that gets himself in the end zone. So Jameis will somehow make it work, and maybe they'll throw Ronald Jones in the mix as well and utilize him this week.
Smart girl. You must have watched that Denver Bronco game where them tight ends ate up the Texans for about three and a half quarters.
Yeah. You got to do what you got to do. It's a scrappy time of the season.
Yeah, I hear you. What about with the Texans? Where are you going? Who are you hot on just with the Texans in general on that offensive side of the football?
Well, I'd like to thank Deshaun Watson for being a part of two out of three of my teams that are going to the championship. I know that I'll be playing a lot of Kenny Stills in DFS. I'm surprised his price stayed so low after such a good showing last week. So I think everybody can really get some in this situation because we know Jameis Winston will have to throw four picks for four touchdowns. So, you know, Deshaun Watson's going to have to show up and fight right back. So everyone can get a little something. I'm going to stay off of Will Fuller. D-Hop is always in play, but look at Kenny Stills in that price.
Hey, tell me about this first place you won. I mean, I got to give you a little street cred. Let everybody out there that's listening know that you're not just a mouthpiece. I mean, you're out there winning leagues. The LADF, I see you came in first place in that LADF NFL Challenge. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, Clint, you're going to be so disappointed. I did not throw money down on that lineup. I just got in a free challenge. I'm still not over it. I've been mad at myself all week. Why didn't I put money on that lineup? I had Perriman in there. It was a great week. But I will say this. I realize that my lineups are getting better being back on the East Coast. I get more time to really think through things Sunday mornings. Starting games at 1 p.m. versus 10 a.m. is a big difference to get up early on a Sunday and get your mind ready enough to make good choices. So I've seen having that extra 6 hours to listen to everybody's last-minute sports talk really helps me set better lineups.
So, Lisa, I'm about to be real selfish right now. I'm in the semifinals of my playoffs, and so I got a couple of options that I'm going to run with at my wide receiver tight end flex position, and so I need you to let me know. Do I need to go Darius Slayton or Chris Connolly?
Man, Chris Conley's been hot, and Darius Slayton had such a down week. You got to expect some uptick this week. I would feel pretty comfortable with Slayton going up against Washington. The only concern is the quarterback situation for the Giants. So once that news breaks, like, what are we really doing? Are we sure it's going to be Daniel Jones and not Eli? Daniel Jones connected very well with Darius Slayton before his injury. Still concerns me, right? So you have two good options there. I still think you need to wait and see.
Okay, and then at quarterback, got Matt Ryan going against the Jacksonville Jaguars and Ryan Fitzpatrick, hopefully, against the Cincinnati Bengals. Between those two guys, who do you think I should ride with there?
You got two good choices. I love Matt Ryan at home. Jacksonville's defense has been incredibly lame. I feel like you have more upside with Fitzpatrick because he can either be magic or not. I'm in this situation, too. I'm going to go Fitzpatrick. Tell me I'm crazy. I understand it, but I love that matchup.
This goes back to my original question with teams wrapping up, home field advantage, yada, yada, yada. If the Patriots lose to the Bills, that'll wrap up home field advantage for the Ravens. If that happens, are you concerned about the Ravens in particular resting or limiting snap for certain players?
Maybe certain players, but I don't think Lamar Jackson. He seems like the player that wants to play no matter what. Stay in that rhythm. I don't think it's a great idea to rest players. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you played. That week off can be good for your body, but very quickly your body can get out of rhythm as well. So I would hope they wouldn't. Lamar Jackson will probably only put in the first half of that week 17 if they do lock up home field.
So it appears Mike Boone could be the starting running back against the Vikings this week. You know, Dalvin Cook was just recently ruled out, and Madison is questionable. Do you know enough about Boone to play him this week against Green Bay, or is he somebody you should stay away from?
I don't think I know enough about him, but what I know is this. I know that team has built the run game. I know that team has a line that has provided Dalvin Cook to have incredible success, as well as Alexander Madison. So I think the situation suits a young player with fresh legs. So if I had him, I'd be playing him and feel very comfortable about it.
Our guy Cecil Shorts, you remember Cecil, right? You did
of
the panel
course,
with Cecil.
Of course, he kills it at fantasy. Yep.
I'm sure he's beating up. Is he beating up on everybody in the
nah,
school?
Nah, he's like in
league?
Seventh, man. He's like in seventh, eighth place. Yeah. He's down there in the consolation bracket.
He's either in a different league or he's lying to you, Lisa, but either way.
Lisa's in the lead that I'm talking about, too, though.
Cecil Shorts wants to know if he should start the Titans receiver A.J. Brown over Le'Veon Bell in the flex this weekend.
Yeah, I worry about Lev Bell in the flex against his previous team. Pittsburgh's defense isn't really a joke. And when you look at what A.J. Brown is facing, it's a lot easier. You know, I feel bad for Lev Bell. He just hasn't had the opportunity this season because they don't have a good line and they don't have a good team. I would love to say this is a revenge game, but he can only do so much. And where's his motivation at this point, right? You see all these players, some of these players are. It's like, you know, I might play, I might go bowling.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to ask you how you felt. I mean, you're pretty aware of what's going on and how players are supposed to react to weekends when they're not playing. How did you feel about Lev Bell bowling his best game of his life on a Saturday night before a game when he wasn't going to play?
Yeah, you know, you really should be resting. I mean, if you're not well enough to play, your body does need rest. I mean, he's a kid. He has FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. So he's got to go hang out with the boys and do things. But really, had he gone to maybe cryotherapy, got a massage, got a really good night's sleep, he could work that bug through his system a lot faster. I will say this. I went to go see the Rockettes this week at Radio City Music Hall. Greatest show ever. Hadn't seen it since I was 10 years old. Every athlete in the world should go see the Rockettes. And then ask them how much they practice, how committed they are, because it is amazing the precision these entertainers have. No one is even one hairline off. And why can't we get that on the field? If so, we'd all be making tons of money playing DFS.
Hey, you need to start giving some pep talks to some of these squads around here at the combine or at the draft or something. Hey, I should have done this when we first got you on. How's the new location? How's the Northeast treating you?
It's great. You know, we had a snow squall the other day, so it, like, snowed like crazy for just 20 minutes, and I ran outside right away. I was so excited. It's been about 10 degrees today, so when you have to go run your errands by foot, you hustle. I'm enjoying it very much. Thanks for asking.
You dig that cold weather, huh? Ice and cold. 10 degrees? Nah, hell no. Come on. I'm down here in Houston. You're crazy about that Northeast stuff, girl. Come on.
Yeah, I love it.
Good deal. Well, good to hear. Well, Lisa Ann, I know you're busy. I mean, I bet you got about 15 of these calls a day talking this fantasy football because you're so dang good at it. We greatly appreciate you for taking the time to join us.
Well, listen, happy holidays to you, to everybody there in Houston, everybody at Sports Radio 610. I look forward to talking to you whenever I can. And next season, we'll do this again. If you want to wrap up next week, I'll be back on with you next week.
You got it. We'll definitely do it. Have a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday.
You too.
You got it. According to one particular stat, the Texans are the second most explosive team in the NFL. You better believe that. We'll talk about it next right here on Sports Radio 610. With Wade Smith, as the big voice guy said, we're down at Little Woodrow's in Midtown off Brazos Street hanging out. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not too far from Christmas. It's right around the corner. It's a Friday.
It's a Friday, baby.
Texans play Saturday. You got a little bonus ball on Sunday. I mean, I just don't know what the hell else you need to be excited about your life, baby.
Yeah, man, this is one of the better weekends you're going to get all year long. You got NFL football on Saturday. You got college football going on right now. Got bowl games going on. 2 days of, well, 3 days of football because you're going to have Monday Night Football as well, man. It's a good time to be an NFL sports fan for sure.
That it is, baby. So wait, according to one particular stat, the Texans are the second most explosive team in the NFL. Pretty convincing. The Texans, obviously, as you know, and as most people know, Mike Irvin just got off the phone telling us how much he loved Kenny Stills and Will Fuller. And then before he got off, he just had to tell us about DeAndre Hopkins. But the Texans can stretch a defense vertically as well as any team out there. There's no doubt about it. There's a couple of stats out there that'll back that, right? You got Deshaun Watson is tied with Russell Wilson for the league lead with 14 completions on throws traveling 30 or more yards in the air. Did I mention over the last year or two that Deshaun Watson's accuracy down the field, second-level throws, is unbelievably impressive?
You didn't mention it, but I remember there was somebody that didn't agree with that assessment. But, back in the day,
well, he's right there with Russell Wilson with 14 completions on throws traveling 30 or more yards in the air. Also, the Texans, as an overall offense, they've produced 33 plays this season that have gained 30 or more yards, which is second only to the explosive Kansas City Chiefs. So, I don't know what else you need to believe that the Texans are one of the most explosive teams in the league. Wait, I mean, here's the deal. Playoff, the talking heads, again, I'm one of those, so it's not a disrespectful term. Or maybe it is, and I just don't give a rip. I got thick skin, baby. I'm good with it. But the talking heads nationally, you know, there's one thing that I continually hear, whether I'm reading it on some website or app or social media, or I'm watching TV and listening to guys talk about the Texans, and that is this. The Texans' kryptonite, essentially, is a defense, an opponent with a defense that can take away the big play.
Interesting.
And I believe that that's inaccurate. I believe that that's may have one day been the case. I think that may have been a very, very, very accurate point last year with all things considered. I don't believe that's the case this year, Wade.
And why do you say that?
Well, because of what we've seen. I mean, we've watched all year long. Now, it's inconsistent. There's no – I mean, that argument, if every argument or every debate over the Houston Texans starts with, well, they're inconsistent, so it's not true, well, then, hell, I just can't win. I'm done. I mean, I might as well hang up the headset right now and walk out of Little Woodrow's. I would hate to do that. But anyway, there's – I mean, when you talk about the Texans, they've shown the ability to use the RPO system as well as anybody in the league at times.
Yeah.
Okay? They've shown the ability to not be a one-trick pony in the RPO system, give multiple looks, have multiple targets. They've you can tell there's times when they encourage Deshaun Watson to get a really good read on that defensive end. Now, I don't know if that defensive end is if he's deciding to keep it sometimes when he shouldn't because he knows he's faster than that guy, but my point is that they're discussing it, they're reading it. It's in-depth use of the RPO. I think the creative quicks, Wade, that we've seen throughout the year, how they've moved DeAndre Hopkins all over the field in different formations, used pre-snap movements. I mean, those are all, to me, those are very, very great topics to debate that they're just a big play team.
Yeah, when I look at the Texans, man, I've seen them throughout this season methodically move the ball down the field and score touchdowns. And it's been more than what I've seen the entire time that Bill O'Brien has been
the
offensive coordinator. Yeah, no question about it. Like, you look at them, they don't have to hit you with a bomb, even though they have the ability to do it at any moment, especially when Will Fuller's in the game. They have the ability to do it, but if you were to take that away, I've seen them 4-yard run, 5-yard run, 2-yard run, 16-yard completion, 12-yard completion, 8-yard completion, and move the ball methodically down the field. Reminds me of the drive they had last week against the Tennessee Titans. It was beautiful. It ended with a Kenny Stills touchdown. They methodically moved the ball down the field. And so taking away their big plays, that's fine and dandy. But the thing that is the kryptonite to the Houston Texans is they have to cut out and eliminate completely the unforced and the self-inflicted errors. That's the thing that is their kryptonite for the Texans. So if you're going to take away the deep ball from the Texans, all right, cool. We'll methodically move the ball down the field, but if you get behind the eight ball, you get behind schedule because you get a false start or because you get a holding penalty or because somebody doesn't line up correctly, there's a legal formation or a legal substitution, things like that that have happened and occurred throughout the season. Those are the things that are kryptonite for the Houston Texans. But taking away the deep ball, I've seen the Texans do it and have success moving the ball down the field 10, 12 play drives, and they do it, and it looks like, with ease.
Yeah, I'm convinced they can do it against anybody. I'm not convinced they can do it consistently, right? But when you talk about, when I hear somebody say that a defense that'll take away the deep ball, and where this all stemmed from is the potential first round opponent is Buffalo. And Buffalo is the best in the league at taking away the big play. Now, again, I don't know how all the different analytics teams got to that point, but apparently the Buffalo Bills are the best at taking away the deep ball. That's right now who the Texans are expected to play if they handle business one of these last two games, or the Tennessee Titans lose to the New Orleans Saints, which I would expect to happen. If any of those three things happen, just one needs to happen, the Texans are in the playoffs. So you expect they're going to play the Buffalo Bills, and the Buffalo Bills are the best at stopping that deep shot. The creative quicks that I've seen this year, the RPOs, and then Wade, I think you alluded to it a little bit right there, but the ability to run the football. The Texans have a 1,000-yard back. And look, I think Lamar Miller's a guy that was on pace to be a 1,000-yard back last year, maybe times before. But I know this is that not only do they have a 1,000-yard back, he went for 104 yards last year in crunch time versus the Tennessee Titans, but he's a guy that most importantly has stayed healthy throughout the season, carrying a pretty good workload as far as the carries between the tackles. And so you couple those quicks, those RPOs, with the ability to run the ball when the game dictates that's what you should be doing, is running into a certain front. It's pretty convincing that these guys are more than just a deep shot taking football team.
No question. And you're seeing it with Laremy Tunsil and what he's doing in the pass and the run game. You're seeing Nick Martin having his best year as an offensive lineman for the Houston Texans. You're seeing the fresh faces in there, Max Sharping, Zach Fulton having one of his better years as a Texans as well. To me, that's what's translating and causing the Texans' run game to be so successful. The last two ball games they played, even though they got blown out by Denver, they haven't had a negative run in 2 weeks. And if you're not having negative runs, that means you're staying on schedule. And that's exactly what you need to do in order to have that methodical offense and not need the explosive play in order to move the ball and score touchdowns.
Right. So when it's all said and done, I do not believe that the Texans are a one-trick pony as far as the defense being able to stop the deep ball. I think we can come to that. The fact that we cover them closer and know, I guess, maybe the deciding factor there, because it is definitely a belief nationally that if you take away that big play, it's a problem. Obviously, if you don't and you allow them to go over the top too, it's going to be a short day at the office for whoever the opponent is, because they can go deep with anybody out there, as I mentioned, with Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson. And the Texans and the Chiefs being right there neck and neck for the most explosive plays in this league. Wade, yesterday we talked a little bit about, that the guy that comes out and has the little bite about the Texans, and they're the girl that you don't want to marry and all that kind of job.
Yeah,
and
Cal Brent.
And we both, and JB, we all came up with something that, just is a deal breaker for us. Yours was yuck mouth, which I co-sign 100%, which that's guy, girl, don't matter. If you're my buddy and we're in the same room, I don't want to be able to smell your damn breath. But nonetheless, yours was yuck mouth, and mine was she had to be able to shake something.
Yeah.
She got to have some rhythm, right? So I thought, what's the deal? What's the flip side of that? What's the deal maker? What's the deal maker for Wade Smith?
I like where you're going with this. So what I want the text line to do, 713-572-4610, give me your deal makers for your relationships with your girl or with your guy. Me personally, hey, if you can cook, mind you, I've been a big guy for a long time. If you can cook, hey, you're going to steal the deal.
Yeah.
10 times out of 10. If you have freckles, my wife, oh, man, she has freckles.
Wow.
That's like the little quirky
one.
That's
slim, no way. There's not very many African-American women that have freckles, bro.
You'd be surprised, but
no,
she
does. I've lived in the same world you have. It's not common, right?
They're understated. You know what I mean?
Right.
They pop up on you like, oh.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, so that's my deal maker.
Listen, we were dating,
but once I saw that, I said, you're not playing fair.
Yeah.
Man. So the ability to cook and the freckles. You in there. You in there 100 times out of 100.
That's the deal, huh? I'm going to tell you
what about you, man?
Independent woman.
Okay.
I need a woman that got some of her own things going on.
She got her own house.
She got her own car. That's it. That'd be nice, too. But just her own goings on. You know what I mean? It's just like my gal, she loves horses. She grew up riding horses, so she loves to do that. She's career-driven, really, really loves to work. Like, there's some of them out there, boy, that'll just clingy-cling, and then they don't even want to go to work in the morning. I'm like, no, I can't have all that.
Yeah.
So, to me, that's one. And then clear. I like simple. Like the way they dress. Like, I like – now, she can do this thing up now. She can go way up and dial it up, but I like the understated, simple.
Okay.
Make simple look phenomenal. I like that right there. So, that's my two. Come out and join us at Little Woodrow's in Midtown on Brazos Street. We're here until 6, and we've got Texas Bowl tickets to give away. Texas A&M Aggies versus Oklahoma State Cowboys. It should be a fun game. I don't know why it wouldn't be. So, come take these tickets from us. We've already given away a few. There's been lines at, out the door over here signing up for these tickets, so you better hurry up. Midtown Little Woodrow's on Brazos Street. Come through and get these Texas Bowl tickets ASAP. Next up, Rockets went on the road and beat the Clippers, baby. Clippers were full strength, no load management, and the Rockets whooped that tail. We'll talk about that next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Beverly on Hart. Had to give it up. Is Westbrook twisting his way. What a move by Russell Westbrook. Chased down by House. Gets to Westbrook. It counts as a foul.
Coach, you said right before the game that the biggest difference from the last meeting is Russ kind of finding his way in this offense. We obviously saw that here tonight.
Right.
How important has he become to the identity of this team?
Well, you know, I can win without him playing really well, and James and a couple others, but I'm just happy for him. I think he's obviously comfortable.
There it is, Clint Sterner joined by Wade Smith. That was Rockets head coach talking about Russell Westbrook. Had a big-time game, man. Dropped 40 points on the road in the big road win versus the Clippers. Rockets win 122-117. The Clippers were full strength. No load management for Kawhi Leonard or Paul George. Or anybody else, for that matter. They were full strength. Check this out, Wade. That was a 14-1 team at home. They had won 10 straight home games. When it's all said and done, this was a big-time win for the Rockets. But here's what I want to get into, man. When Gordon comes back for the Rockets,
yeah,
they'll be without a doubt. Which may not be the case for everybody else leading up till today, but it was for me. Today, when Gordon comes back, without a doubt, they'll be in the convo for not one of the top teams in the West, but for the top team in the West.
Man, I have a hard time arguing with that, but I'm going to.
Come on, baby.
That's what we do time to time. Look, I love what I saw last night out of the Rockets. Westbrook did an excellent job. He showed last week, he illustrated why the trade was made, because he can put together performances like that where he's giving you 40 points, he's taking the ball to the rack, he's getting your and ones, he's distributing the ball to guys and getting them open looks. You love everything about that. But how consistent are we going to get? How consistent is that performance we're going to get out of Russell Westbrook when you come down the stretch and you're looking at him playing against the biggest of the big boys, talking about the two L.A. teams? I think right now, I feel like, they're in the conversation to compete with those boys, but to say they are the big dog on the block when Gordon comes back, I can't say that yet, because when Gordon comes back, now they're going to have to work him back into the offense and kind of figure out how things are going to go.
Yep.
And that's going to take some doing. And it's kind of going to be a blessing in disguise, I believe. I think when you look at it, when he first comes back, it's going to be some newness because you've got guys like McLemore and House playing a bunch of minutes. And when those guys' minutes diminish a bit, how are they going to play coming off the bench? How are they going to play with the reduced roles? And so once they get that figured it out, then, yes, I think that they can eventually, when it comes down to it, they'll be at that level. But when he first comes back, I can't say that yet.
I'm there, man. Look, I mean, here's the deal. Here's what we know, Wade, is that you know that what you get with Harden and Gordon on the floor together, it has been special in the past. I mean, with the supporting cast, with Tucker and Capel and everybody Everybody understands what they can do. So I mean, I don't think there's any debating that they're solid as a good playoff contender that can make a run. Okay, when you put Gordon back on the floor, you got another spot up shooter with PJ in the corner. That in itself, you saw last night, Westbrook lit him up for 40 points. And look, he only knocked down I think two threes in the game. Yeah, he was 2 for 6 from the three-point line, but he was 13 to 31. He got off 31 shots. When was the last game that somebody that had more attempts than Harden, right?
And so, never.
Right. It's been a while, right? But you're talking now. You got a glimpse into another guy off the ball from Harden. If he's hot,
yeah,
shooting the rock more than just getting to the rim, then all of a sudden you saw what this team is capable of doing. So the Westbrook, Gordon, and Tucker with Harden on the floor could be special, but think about it when Harden's off the floor. Last night, Westbrook took this game over,
yeah,
with Harden on the floor and got this team back in it. In fact, he brought them all the way back, and they had a 2-point lead after the third quarter. And they erased a 17-point deficit at one point in that game. And for the most part, it was done by Westbrook and company. But think about when Harden's not on the floor, right? You got Westbrook doing his thing, being the ball dominant player at that point in time. You got Gordon in one corner and PJ Tucker in the other. PJ Tucker's shooting the corner three at a plus 50% rate. I mean, he's knocking down more than 50% of his threes from the corner. You put Gordon in the other corner and you got one of the best guys at getting to the rim or dishing on his way to the rim, you got a serious group without your best player on the floor.
Yeah, and that was kind of the formula they tried to do last year with Chris Paul, but he couldn't get to the rack and finish the way that Westbrook can. And so he did do a good job of facilitating the ball around the guys, but it's not going to be to the level that Russell would be able to do. And his ability to finish, that takes it to another level. It keeps Harden off the floor and you not giving up ground to whoever you're playing against. And then now it allows Harden to play well down the stretches. Yeah. And that's what you saw in this ball game against the L.A. Clippers. You saw James Harden play at his best in the fourth quarter, when it's usually the opposite of that. You usually get the quarters 1 through 3,
yeah,
you're getting the best James Harden. In the fourth quarter, you're getting him tailing off. And that was the reason why they made the trade, man. And so it was good to see it illustrated for everybody to see on a national stage. Everybody's watching the game. Everybody knew it was a big game.
Yeah.
Beverly was over there playing big for those guys. Harrell, all of those former Rockets were over there playing big. They had Kawhi Leonard in the building and Paul George as well. They had all those guys, but you know what? It didn't matter.
Yep.
The Rockets came out on top, and so that was real good to see.
A couple other things worth mentioning. I think Ben McLemore, former 7th overall pick by, I believe it was the Sacramento Kings, I believe, in 2013, something like that. I mean, but you're talking about a guy that clearly has a very, very high ceiling. This time with Gordon down, this time has afforded him extra experience, more clock than he would usually get. And I think as of late, in the last week or 2 weeks, you've seen a much more confident player. You've seen not just himself, but you've seen the team around him like lean on him a little bit when certain guys aren't on the floor. So I think Ben McLemore and the time that he's been able to get on the floor with Gordon out is absolutely huge for this team. Because the bench, we've talked about it. They're just not they haven't in the past. I don't know exactly what the numbers are last night, but the bench has been a problem. Bench points off the bench is a problem for the Houston Rockets right now. And I understand why they're not deep. They're got some injuries and they're having to play multiple guys. But getting those bench points up, I think will be a big deal. I think Ben McLemore moving forward can do that. Wade, and look, the other thing is, there's no doubt about it, my man. If you watch that game last night,
yeah,
you said Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were in the game late, yeah. right? There was a swing. The Rockets gave up a double-digit lead, right? And then after they gave up the double-digit lead, they go on a 15-0 run to put them up to win the game. During that 15-0 run, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were on the floor.
Yeah.
Paul George and Kawhi Leonard were trying to get to the rack and trying to shoot from that elbow of the free throw line and weren't able to get shots off. And so the defense clearly stepped up. I don't know what combination it was. I don't know who was driving the ship, but I know when it mattered the most versus a very, very not just talented Clippers team. What I like about the Clippers is, one, they play defense. I mentioned that. But, two, on the offensive end of the floor, they've got a damn plan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're going to get Kawhi Leonard or Paul George to the elbow and take a high percentage shot when the game's on the line. Not a three or a step back or a. They got a plan. And the Rockets last night, they got in the way of that plan and beat them in the biggest of moments in that game. And you're right. James Harden, who we've been critical of, stepped to the plate and made it happen.
Yeah, the Clippers have multiple players on their roster that can create and get their own shot.
Yeah.
And so when you have that and you have to play defense against that, that's tough to deal with. So it was impressive to see the defensive intensity pick up by the Rockets and allow them to come back and get into that ball game. And that starts with, everybody knows PJ Tucker is the crux of the Houston Rockets defense, but the energy that Westbrook brings, I think, takes it to another level, and that's what you needed out of those guys, and that's what you saw.
Yeah, Rhett, to wrap up this game right here, Wade, check this out. This is the keep in mind, the Rockets went on the road and beat a team that was 14-1 at home, 122-117, right? A team that was 21-8 at the point in time, 14-1 at home. P.J. Tucker was 1-for-5 from the corner. Dude had 10 points. Capella, 16 points. Harden, I know he had 7 at half. He had 7 points at half, ended up with 28. Austin Rivers knocked down a couple. Ben McLemore knocked down a couple. But you're talking about no. There's no way that was the Rockets' best performance. We hadn't even gotten to the fact that Gordon's out again, right? I mean, it was not their best performance, and they were able to slay one of the Giants in the fourth quarter in their own backyard. So impressive win. I tell you, I want to move on to this. I'm Clint Sterner. It's with Wade Smith today. We're at Little Woodrow's on Brazos Street in Midtown. Come by, check us out. You're listening to Sports Radio 610 Houston Sports Leader. Wade, here's the deal is, I love the best entertainment on TV, my brother. The best entertainment is TNT halftime and postgame.
It is up there, no question about it.
Wait, for me, it ain't nothing even close, man. Them cats right there. But, you know, hey, so Kenny Smith last night, he messes up. He's talking about good shooting, right? They're talking about how Giannis has been working with Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
On his shot. Because yeah. Giannis, I don't know if you saw it, but Giannis hit 5 of 8 from 3-point line last night. And they're talking about if he's shooting 5 of 8 from 3-point line, he's the best player in the league.
No question.
Okay.
He might be the best player anyway, but you add that,
right,
it's not fair.
It's not even a question, right?
Yeah.
So they're talking about that. Well, Kenny Smith, did you see this?
No, I did not see this.
Kenny Smith keeps saying memory muscle.
Instead of muscle memory?
Yeah.
He said memory muscle?
He said, and when he first said it, I was like, he means muscle memory, right?
Yeah.
He's talking about shooting. He says shooting ain't nothing but memory muscle. And about the third time he says it, Shaq leans back and goes, hey, man, it's muscle memory, bro. Charles over there goes, yeah, it's muscle memory. They start going back and forth. So for literally 5 minutes of their show,
yeah,
they said everything backwards. So they're doing highlights, right? They're doing highlights, and they go, yeah, Westbrook Russell, he's doing all right. And they're just they're grilling Kenny Smith.
Yeah.
Instead of layup, they'd say uplay. And so it was just.
We got to get that audio and listen to it later on the show, bro.
It was so funny, man. Tucker, PJ, and they were doing highlights. It was impressive because they clearly were talented.
Yeah.
Like you and I could sit here and watch TV. It would be hard to just, and they were just rattling it off one after another and were hammering Kenny Smith and he was hurting. But I'll get to my point. My point is the hate, man. Look, I've been critical of James Harden.
Yeah.
I've been real critical of James Harden. There's no doubt about it. The hate from that crew.
Hating on the Rockets?
From Harden, man.
Just Harden. What were they saying?
I mean, just from the standpoint of you can tell, and which is fine with me. I mean, you have your opinion of you don't think ISO ball is the way to play.
Yeah.
But it starts out with, like, come onto the show, and it's like, Nobody ever in NBA history has worked as hard as James Harden does to get the points that he gets. It's like he's the best scorer of the ball. And there may be some truth to that,
yeah.
But it just came out into halftime. It was like, I mean, there's a lot going on in this game right now. I mean, the Rockets are down 15 at half, you know, and they came out with that. You can just tell that Barkley and Shaq in particular, you can tell they're old school dudes.
Yeah.
And that ISO ball just really ain't their get up. And it's just one of those, like, it was a thread, we call it, I guess, throughout the entire show.
Yeah.
Halftime and postgame, like the constant thread throughout the entire show at one point in time, several times throughout the halftime, and was something about Harden and that they won't win with that kind of.
It sounds like to me, though, when I hear you say that, it sounds like to me that it's very similar to some of the things you hear about Lamar Jackson, him playing quarterback. Basically, people saying just waiting for him to have some failure. So he says, "See, I told you so."
Yeah.
And they say that about Harden, the same thing. Like, okay, you can't win with this type of style of ball. In the first half, he only had 7 points. I'm sure his shooting percentage was terrible. So, like, see, he worked so hard to get his buckets, and so that's why the Rockets will never win. It sounds very similar to me when people talk about Lamar Jackson. You can't keep running the ball all the time and expect to win a championship. So that's very interesting. We'll see. Time will tell. That's a good thing about
Shaq,
it.
Shaq was pretty like, no. He just needs to play his game, and then when he gets doubled, dish it to other guys and move and yada, yada, yada. So Shaq was pretty I guess he was kind of straddling the fence, but there ain't no doubt the way Barkley talks about it.
Yeah.
Like, it bothers Barkley. Like, it bothers Barkley that he's leading. Bro, you know, he's having the third. I think he's number three in average points ever in a season. He's averaging 38 or some odd points.
Yeah, he's up there. He's killing. He's got like 38.
I mean, Will Chamberlain.
It
goes Will Chamberlain, him, yeah. Will Chamberlain again, and then Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and listen, to be honest about it, it's not like those points are similar to the points that they were getting back then. Although Will Chamberlain wasn't playing against that top notch competition that maybe that happened in the 90s, but still, there was a different brand of basketball back then than what it is now, so it allows for you to score more points. But there's nothing you can take away from the Harden's ability to score one-on-one against anybody that you put in front of him.
But wait, when I was watching that game last night, I felt like Harden had made big strides. Just since the last time we talked about it in depth here, I can't remember who they played earlier in the year, but you could tell, like, they threw the double team at him, and he didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Like he was surprised. Like, he's worked his way through it, and he's clearly – like, there was a lot to chew. There's a lot of meat to chew on right there, and they just came out from the jump with Harden. That ain't it.
Well, that's part of them being national guys and not seeing the day in and day out, and that's part of what the good thing about the regular season is. Like, look, they have opportunities to adjust and see how people are going to play James Harden, because – people come up with unorthodox ways to cover him, because if you just play him straight up, he's going to destroy you.
Right.
And so that's part of them working through it and getting better as a club, and you're seeing them do that. And for them to do it on the national stage, man, that was big time. And you got to always remember, Charles Barkley still is mad because the Rockets apparently owe him money.
Yeah.
So he's going to have something to say about the superstar for the Rockets.
Good point.
Anyway.
Good point. Big time win on the road by the Rockets, 122-117. And I believe it, when Gordon comes back, the Rockets are going to be in the conversation for not the top five or six in the West, but for that top spot in the West. They're going to be a serious, serious contender. That's what I took from last night's game. Coming up next, there's some big NFL games this weekend, starting with three of them on Saturday. That's tomorrow. The Texans kick this thing off at noon. Wade and I'll cuss and discuss each one of these games and see which side we're going to lean to, what bet we're going to make next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.